The Gary Knoll Show, daily at noon on the Progressive Radio Network.
It's the Gary Knoll Show, and now, your host, Gary Knoll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. Have a really packed show today. We'll not be able to take calls. Lots of commentaries. We're going to talk about, will drinking water for millions be devastated by natural gas drilling? Toxic black rain falling in the Gulf. A commentary from Paul Craig Roberts. He generally does some really brilliant work. And this is a short one called When Globalization Runs Its Course, The Year America Dissolved. It was 2017. Klans were governing America. Depleted uranium weapons behind rise in cancer. My guest, Dr. Hans Kugler. New advances in anti-aging medicine, particularly with recent stem cell research. And the latest on health and healing. We have a packed show. Let's go right to it. A lot of children don't realize that they're suffering and their parents don't intervene with celiac disease because they've frequently been given gluten, so much gluten and refined gluten that it's caused this condition. And they're rarely given vitamins. But new research from the University of Alberta has shown that children who have celiac disease, which by the way is an autoimmune disease, that makes them very susceptible to allergies, are deficient in vitamins D and K, which helps protect the bones from developing osteoporosis later in life. And so if the children have a good multiple vitamin and you keep them off wheat products and dairy products, then you can make an enormous difference in preventing this suffering in children, and that's good news. By the way, there was a gentleman that we filmed about 3 months ago. You can see his comments up on the website, GaryKnoll.com, under Miracles Can Happen. He had had celiac disease and ileitis. He had multiple conditions with no medical relief for over 20 years. Followed the protocol, and he's been completely free of any disease for the last 7 years. So you can reverse these conditions. Now, one nutrient that is good for everyone is zinc, but we don't get a lot of zinc. And for the guys out there, every time you ejaculate, you use up a substantial amount of zinc in the body. So a lack of zinc can lead to a lot of problems, including fatigue, which people are unaware of. And if you exercise vigorously and are an endurance athlete, you can use up zinc as well. But new research from the University of Michigan shows that if you lack zinc, it's linked to diabetes. U.S. researchers say that zinc plays a role in the blood sugar regulation and in preventing type 2 diabetes. This was published in the Journal of the American Chemical Society. So my suggestion is 20 to 30 milligrams of zinc each day, and take it before you go to bed. That's when it's best. Which women live the longest in the world? Japanese. For 25 straight years, they're number one in longevity in the world. And they live almost 87 years. But also, they have a greater quality of life than American women, who are suffering far more diseases than the Japanese do, far less of diabetes, heart disease, cancer, and overweight conditions. Interesting that the life expectancy for men is substantially less. It's 79 years. You compare that against so many people in the United States who, by the time they hit 70, have multiple physical ailments. curcumin. You know what curcumin is. If you're eating the spiced curry, it's what gives it that wonderful color. But it does something great for the body. It helps turn off inflammation, which is why I recommend people take about 800 milligrams a day. An Italian research group found that curcumin can help relieve arthritis. And this was not necessarily at a high dose. It was relatively low-dose curcumin, relieve pain and increase mobility in patients with osteoarthritis. Quote, the Italian scientist said this is the first time that curcumin shows clinical efficacy at low and realistic doses. And it was published in a major peer-reviewed journal in Italy. So that's good news. And I looked at the amount in the study, and it was about what would be about 200 milligrams. And that would be the very lowest I would suggest someone take. I think we should be taking more. Now, for those of you who are using cashew milk, I know a lot of people aren't familiar with it. It tastes very similar to walnut milk. It's very smooth, has a wonderful, slightly nutty flavor, very creamy. In fact, in one of my videos, I show how to make cashew milk. It took under 2 minutes to actually make it. You just let the nuts set overnight and soak, and then you get a cheesecloth and you drain out, you actually squeeze out. Well, anyhow, I'll deal with that on another show of how to make your nut milks. But it's very quick and very easy, and they're very good. And for people that don't want to drink cow's milk or any dairy, cashew milk, almond milk. I've also done pistachio milk. I'm working now on a couple other different types of nut, Brazil nut, and filberts, to see how they do. In fact, just recently, for a friend that had a birthday, this person had a 90th birthday, and I made them a completely wheat-free cake. There was no gluten, no wheat at all. I made it all out of nut flour. And I made 4 levels of fillings. I made a pineapple level, a double chocolate, raw organic chocolate level. I made a caramel level, and I made a butterscotch level, and I topped off with a cherry vanilla level. So it's one of those things, when you start to eat it, with each level and layer you eat down about 2 inches, you have a whole new taste sensation. But when you make a cake with the flour that you make from nuts, you have this very rich taste. And it's great because there's all good nutrients, and it just takes a little time to master the art of doing it using egg replacer. But it works. Anyhow, the newest study here shows that cashews are very good for helping with diabetes. Quote, lab tests have indicated that cashew could help boost glucose uptake, earmarking it as a compound with potential anti-diabetic properties. And this was an extract, and it was really good. So let's get some cashews into our diet, and cashew milk or cashew butter. And what a nice way to give your kid or yourself a sandwich, where you take an Essene bread, which is made from sprouts, therefore there is no gluten in sprouts, and then you put a raw cashew butter on it, and you can go into a health food store and grind them yourself, and then put some organic jam on it, whatever your favorite fruit. Now that's a great nut butter and jam sandwich. Tea polyphenols, that's the healing ingredient in your tea, show anti-glycation promise, especially for diabetics. And this was from Food Chemistry, and it says, quote, this study suggests that loading plasma with EGCG, that's the active ingredient in the green tea, is an efficient way to increase the content of this polyphytochemical, which may imply favorable in vivo activity in diabetics. That's from food chemistry. That's scientific jargon for drink your green tea and help stabilize your blood sugar. Of course, you could also add drink your green tea and lower your cholesterol. Drink your green tea and prevent DNA damage. Drink your green tea and help prevent the scarring and plaquing inside your primary epithelial tissue. There are just 20 or 30 major good things that green tea does for us. And the polyphenols are what do it. So let's have 200 to 800 milligrams a day of tea. Next up, scientists discover that olive oil directly impacts genes to halt inflammation. And by the way, another part of that study on green tea is it had anti-glycation impact. And another thing the cashew did, anti-glycation. Now, why is that important? Because that's two different things that slow down glycation. Now, just go back. Remember your basic chemistry, food chemistry. If you see, and everyone has seen, a chicken at some point, soft and moist, going into an oven, being brought out later, and it's crisp and brown. Turning the chicken or turkey or a hamburger from a raw piece of red meat to a brown piece of meat, that's called glycation. And glycation literally changes the chemistry of sugars and proteins in the body, and this actually speeds up the aging process of the cell. So in order to slow down the aging of the cell, you want something that is anti-glycation. Now, for those who are just finishing, we only have two more months to go, and we will finish a year study with our health support group, and we have had phenomenal changes in the people. I mean, a man who had all white eyebrows and all white hair now has all black eyebrows, and probably 60% of his hair is black again. We have a woman who had fibrocystic breasts. They're gone. All fibrocystic tissue gone. A very large ovarian cyst shrunk down to where it's virtually non-measurable. We've had people who've had funguses under their nails for a year. Clean, smooth, no more fungus nails. Skin tightening up and becoming revitalized again. So when this current group is complete and we film the final statements and we get the final diaries and we do our final study and clinical evaluation and we submit it for peer review publication and submit it for a presentation before scientific groups, I will then start another anti-aging group with new information, making it much more rigorous, but the results, I believe, much more powerful. So now back to olive oil. So anyhow, I have people taking raw organic olive oil. And it's the main component of the Mediterranean diet, olives and olive oil, for its health protective benefits. For example, phytonutrient compounds in olive oil have been found to be effective against breast cancer cells. And studies suggest the abundance of olive oil in the Mediterranean style of eating may be the reason that that diet helps prevent depression. Now scientists have discovered that phenolic compounds in olive oil directly repress genes linked to inflammation. Now this is especially important in halting the dangerous effect of metabolic syndrome. And metabolic syndrome is characterized by excessive belly fat, elevated cholesterol, high blood pressure, elevated blood sugar. Metabolic syndrome is directly linked to heart disease, early death, and type 2 diabetes. So the journal BMS Genomics, which is a peer-reviewed journal investigating changes in genes, found that the olive oil phenols did this. It was a double-blind randomized study done at the University of Cordoba. And it went on for 6 weeks. And so, quote, these findings strengthen the relationship between inflammation, obesity, diet, and provide evidence at the most basic level of healthy effects derived from virgin olive oil consumption in humans, unquote. So have your organic olive oil each day in your salads. And one more thing, the farther north you live, the less vitamin D you end up having. And this is from Aberdeen University in Scotland, and it says, quote, a new study has found once again that people living further from the equator are significantly more likely to suffer from vitamin D deficiency, which means more brittle bones, weaker immune system, more susceptibility to colds and flu, greater likelihood of dying from all conditions, so that's bad. Iraqi doctors run out of pharmaceuticals and start using acupuncture. From acupuncture medicine, rattled by years of war and conflict, the capital city of Iraq is seeing a shift in medical protocol, according to a recent study, because there had been a shortage of certain pharmaceutical drugs in Baghdad throughout the past decade. Many doctors there have been successfully using acupuncture. The study, published in the British Medical Journal, evaluated 200 different pregnancy cases at the Red Crescent Hospital for Gynecology and Obstetrics in Baghdad. And when there was a shortage of oxytocin, a drug used to help women who have just given birth via C-section, the drug is typically administered to help cause the womb to retract and to help prevent excessive bleeding. However, because they just didn't have the drugs, they had to look for something else, and they found that acupuncture treatments worked beautifully on patients and greatly reduced or even eliminated the need for using oxytocin. Quote, oxytocin proved largely unnecessary in my series of patients, apparently through the action of acupuncture. And that was the head of anesthesiology who wrote the report. So how about that? That's good news. I'm Gary Nall. Back in a moment with our guests. Please stay with us. Welcome, all of you. I'm Gary Nall. We're streaming this live via the video on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com or GaryNall.com, so you can watch today's show. We're also in the process of building our new studio in the next 4 to 5 weeks, and then we'll have, the set will look similar to CNN's. We'll have big screens and be able to interview people all over the world via SkyCap, so it'll be fun. Anyhow, my guest, Dr. Hans Kugler, is going to be on in 15 minutes from now. He is not available at this moment, so we'll come back to him. I have a commentary to share with you in a moment from Paul Craig Roberts from Global Research, and they do wonderful work, Global Research. Also from Donna Smith, who tells the dead patient stories now? And also, will drinking water for millions be devastated by natural gas drilling? From Jeff Deasy, Alternet. But just a couple things before we go there. First, I have a special to offer you. And by the way, I realize that we're going to be running out of certain products for a short period of time. I've discontinued over 300 products. But I'm coming up with the best ever new combinations. So anything that was really important to you that I've discontinued, in the near future, there'll be a new version. So not to worry. At least of those that I'm keeping. And I'm keeping 10%, making them all better, and in some cases, combinations that you would have been using several products in the past, now you get one. And all that starts, I guess, next week. So that's good. But here's one product that will remain the same. This is the one product that I take every day, all day, throughout the day, and before I go to bed at night. And this is one of the reasons that I can do all the things I do. And I believe it's one of the most important products to prevent me from ending up in a hospital after my 20-hour-a-day schedule. In fact, it was kind of interesting. I heard someone late last night say, "Yo, yo," and I turned around and looked out the window. And it was about 3:30 in the morning, and there's someone out on the street, and it was a cab driver. And he got out of the cab, and he says, "I always drive by here late at night, and I see you up there." And he says, "Don't you ever sleep?" And I said, "Yeah, I sleep. Just not very often." And because there's just a whole lot of good things happening and a lot of good things to do. And I'm very excited by the time we're in. I believe that this is even better in some respects than the 1960s, when many of us were in junior high school and looking at the world and thinking of all the possibilities. And because now we have a lot of history, a lot of context to make decisions that we didn't have then. I believe that we also have a lot more maturity in not just being rebels without a cause, but being rebels with and for a cause. I believe that we can cause social change not relying solely upon our government, it would be too late and too little, but rather individuals and groups. We didn't have that power at that time. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have any things socially except a raised consciousness. So I think a lot of good change is happening. Yes, there'll be a lot of bad things happening. But we have the capacity to make a difference in our own lives. Anyhow, back to this. This is my advanced supremacy. And 120 servings. And it's kosher. And the ingredients have no allergens. And all you have to do is just look at your vitamin C. And I always ask people to take this test. You take whatever fizzy, whizzy little vitamin C you're taking, you know, with a little gimmicky. You take your, see how much you can take. All right? Measure it. Is it 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 milligrams before you get upset stomach and diarrhea? Now you take supremacy, and especially advanced supremacy, and see how much you can take. There's a physician, a very popular physician in New York, a mainstream physician. He has this on his desk. He takes it all day long.
Is that right?
Yeah, all day long. Never has upset stomach. And also, so I take it all day long. And here's what's in it. First, in a single serving, 2,241 milligrams of the best buffered vitamin C, along with buffering agents, calcium, magnesium, and potassium. But I also throw in 200 milligrams of cranberry, because I believe it's one of the single most important things women in particular should be using every day.
To keep their urinary tracts healthy?
All you have to do is look at the scientific literature under cranberries, 200 milligrams, and a whole list of good things can happen in your body. Also, I put blueberry in there, and bioflavonoids, and acerola, 100 milligrams acerola, 250 milligrams bioflavonoids. Why? Because of all the polyphenols and phenolics that you're getting. Every time you take it, you're recharging the cell. What does your cell have to protect it from all the free radicals and oxidative stressors except what you give it? So if you give it the wrong foods, there's nothing protecting it. If you give it the right foods, that's good. You give it the nutrients, that's 10, 25, 100 times more powerful in protecting. And then I add something that no one does, and that's the amla fruit, and which is in there. And then stevia, and that's it. So it's called the advanced supremacy. And I know of no better vitamin C in the world. I know of nothing that will do more on more levels for my body. That's why I created it. That's it. It's not my big selling item, by the way, because not everybody, you know, takes it. But for those who do, this is what I take. And it's for you. And you're going to get buy one, get one free today. And all the money goes to this radio station, which is one of the reasons Danny Schechter and Michelle Kako, no one else has to ever raise a penny. It's the only station I know that is commercial free. All other shows never have to do this because I do it. and all the funds go for it. Call 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065 for your advanced Supremacy Buy One, Get One Free. Now to a few short commentaries, and then in studio we have Carol Lee and we have Rachel Spratt. First, from Paul Craig Roberts. And who is Paul Craig Roberts? He does some blisteringly honest commentaries. And he's a very bright man. He was an editor of the Wall Street Journal, assistant secretary of the Treasury. His last book, How the Economy Was Lost, which was published by Counterpunch. And those are people, Alexander Coburn and Jeffrey St. Clair, who I have an enormous amount of respect for. I mean, these guys, you just don't compromise on principle and honesty with Alexander Coburn, these people. Anyhow, here's what he has to say. It's short, but let's see if we can accept or reject what he says. The first Klans organized around local police forces. The conservatives' war on crime during the late 20th century and the Bush-Obama war on terror during the first decade of the 21st century had resulted in the police becoming militarized and unaccountable. As society broke down, the police became warlords. The state police broke apart and the officers were subsumed into the local forces of their communities. The newly formed tribes expanded to encompass the relatives and friends of the police. The dollar had collapsed as a world reserve currency in 2012, when the worsening economic depression made it clear to Washington's creditors that the federal budget deficit was too large to be financed except by the printing of money. With the dollar's demise, import prices skyrocketed. As Americans were unable to afford foreign-made goods, the transnational corporations that were producing offshore for the U.S. markets were bankrupted, further eroding the government's revenue base. The government was forced to print money in order to pay its bills, causing domestic prices to rise rapidly. Faced with hyperinflation, Washington took recourse in terminating Social Security and Medicare, and followed up by confiscating the remnants of private pensions. This provided a one-year respite, but with no more resources to confiscate, money creation and hyperinflation resumed. Organized food deliveries broke down when the government fought hyperinflation with fixed prices and the mandate that all purchases and sales had to be in U.S. paper currency. Unwilling to trade appreciating goods for depreciating paper, goods disappeared from stores. Washington responded as Lenin had done during the war communism period of Soviet history. The government sent troops to confiscate goods for distribution in kind to the population. This was a temporary stopgap until existing stocks were depleted. As future production was discouraged, much of the confiscated stocks became the property of the troops who seized the goods. Goods reappeared in markets under the protection of local warlords. Transactions were conducted in barter in gold, silver, and copper coin. Other clans organized around families and individuals who possessed stocks of food, bullion, guns, ammunition. Uneasy alliances formed to balance differences in clan strengths. Betrayals quickly made loyalty a necessary trait for survival. Large-scale food and other production broke down as local militias taxed distribution as goods moved across local territories. Washington seized domestic oil production and refineries, but much of the government's gasoline was paid for safe passage across Klan territories. Most of the troops in Washington's overseas bases were abandoned as their resource stocks were drawn down. The abandoned soldiers were forced into alliances with those with whom they had been fighting. Washington found it increasingly difficult to maintain itself. As it lost control over the country, Washington was less able to secure supplies from abroad as tribute from those Washington threatened with nuclear attack. Gradually, other nuclear powers realized that the only target in America was Washington. The more astute saw the writing on the wall and slipped away from the former capital city. When Rome began her empire, Rome's currency consisted of gold and silver coinage. Rome was well organized with efficient institutions and the ability to support troops in the field so that campaigns could continue indefinitely, a monopoly in the world of Rome's time. When hubris sent America in pursuit of overseas empire, the venture coincided with the offshore shoring of America's manufacturing, industrial, and professional service jobs, and the corresponding erosion of the government's tax base, with the advent of massive budget and trade deficits, with the erosion of the fiat paper currency value, and with America's dependence on foreign creditors and puppet rulers. The Roman Empire lasted for centuries. The American Empire collapsed overnight. Rome's corruption became the strength of her enemies, and the Western Empire was overrun. America's collapse occurred when government ceased to represent the people and became the instrument of a private oligarchy. Decisions were made in behalf of short-term profits for the few at the expense of the unmanageable liabilities for the many. Overwhelmed by liabilities, the government collapsed. Globalism had run its course. Life reformed on a local basis. Those are his thoughts. Interesting. And if you have thoughts, would like to hear them. 888-874-4888. I'll take one or two on that. Now, drinking water. The ordinary tap water available to 12 million residents in New York metropolitan area has been reliably clean and flavorful since 1842, when an aqueduct was built to bring pristine water from upstate to the city. For years, prideful city water is consistent winner in blind taste test. Easy to take for granted, it comes as a shock to learn it is now endangered by natural gas drilling. For a couple of years, there have been media reports from Pennsylvania to Texas of drinking water so tainted that folks are able to light the water from their kitchen tap on fire. There have been more than 300 instances of contaminated water in Colorado since just 2003, 700 instances of contaminated water in New Mexico. And that's according to this senior staff attorney with Earthworks Oil and Gas Accountability Project. In West Virginia, my home state, a once lushly forested area, has been transformed into a dead zone. In fact, my brother Steve, who I spoke to this morning, just returned from a reunion that depressed him to no end. He said, that's the last one. He said, man, he says, everybody looked bad and old. He said, I'll never go back. I said, okay. And, now we know that Josh Fox made the Sundance Award-winning documentary Gasland after he was asked to lease his land for gas drilling. That led him to embark on a cross-country odyssey. As the website for the show Now on PBS explains, his journey led to a film that alleges chronic illness, animal killing, toxic waste, disastrous explosions, and regulatory missteps. It will be broadcast on HBO through 2012. And Gasland shows tap water being set ablaze and explores the drilling process known as fracking, or hydraulic fracturing, a technology developed by Halliburton. Millions of gallons of water, chemicals, and sand are injected into the ground under high pressure, cracking shale and tight rocks to allow gas to flow more freely from the well. It is a toxic mixture and believed to be the prime culprit in the pollution of groundwater in areas surrounding drilling sites. Even drinking water hundreds of miles from a well can be contaminated. Hundreds of miles. And by the way, just as an aside, I'm now looking, as many people in the audience know, to create the first really comprehensive, sustainable homestead project in the world. And no one's ever done this before. Yeah, there have been co-ops. This is not it. Community living. This is sure not it, because I'm not in the community anything. Right? Forget that. Who's in my bed? Oh, it's me, Flower Power. Get the hell out of my bed. You stink. So anyhow, no, we're not going to take kumbaya baths together. Sorry, that isn't what I'm about. I'm big on autonomy, but sharing a collective spirit. We're going to have an artisan's village. We're going to have a food homesteader's village. We're going to have a homesteader's gardening project. We're going to have people who just want quality of life rentals, but all in a magnificent environment that I'm going to be working on. But I've spent the last 4 months just checking water samples and geological surveys to see how much water, what quality of water, is there any fracking around, because I don't want to have bad water. You have got bad water, you have nothing. Or what about drought? Do you realize how many wells are going dry all over America? People spend their retirement savings on a beautiful home out in Sedona. And by the way, people in Sedona, I'm going to be out there doing a lecture, and I'll let you know more about that in the next couple of weeks. In any case, people don't do their basic homework. Do that homework before you get any property. Because otherwise, you could have someone doing fracking gas exploration 200 miles away in another county.
That could still affect your water.
Still pollute your well water. All right? So there are hundreds of thousands of new wells coming at you. You heard me. You heard it right here. It's hard to believe that risking the health of millions in order to extract natural gas would even be considered. But New York State Department of Environmental Conservation is close to issuing a final supplemental generic environmental impact statement on gas drilling using hydraulic fracturing near a major watershed in upstate New York. And this is expected to facilitate the process for fracking near a vital watershed. Well, needless to say, I'm opposed to everything done by the governor and the legislators in New York State. I've never seen them do anything right, ever. They're don't even get me into politicians in New York State. You thought the Tony Sopranos in New Jersey were bad. Tony Soprano looks like Shirley Temple compared to the guys we got running Albany. In any case,
I will.
Why don't they just drink? Why don't they go bathe in some fracked water, right? Then send them down to eat the tar balls, right? Then why don't we take all the politicians in America, all the lawyers, and all the people in conservative and liberal radio and television, you know, the prima donnas, and have them just hold their nose, go down and block the pipe all the way in the Gulf? That would be a good use. Don't throw golf balls down there. That doesn't do any good. Golf balls have value. In any case, the residents of New York are not alone in facing a future threat to the safety of their drinking water. According to an article published in ProPublica, quote, in the next 10 years, the United States will use the fracturing technology to drill hundreds of thousands of new wells astride cities, rivers, and watersheds. Cash-strapped state governments are pining for the revenue and a much-needed jobs that drilling is expected to bring to the poor rural areas. Incredibly, a loophole exempts natural gas drilling from the Safe Water Drilling Act. Drilling companies don't even have to disclose that almost 600 chemicals that might be used in fracking and find their way into your drinking water. Fortunately, our friends at Food and Water Watch, who have had on this program, have provided a way for you and me to make their voices heard by contacting elected representatives and so go to them and let's do something, let's speak up and reach out to Food and Water Watch, okay? And let's tell them no to fracking in New York State. I'm Gary Knoll, and tomorrow or later today on my 3 o'clock show, I'm going to talk about lobbyists are now promoting what in developing world? This is really interesting. They spend $100 million to lobbyists to do it. They're going to be putting asbestos in developing worlds. How about that?
Good idea.
That's a great idea if you're one of those people who believe in globalization. Let Sean Hannity read that and you'll see shivers go up his back. He gets so excited. More money made for the people that sponsor their shows. But what about the asbestos and the accountability? Oh, did I forget? If we were accountable, then we would be not selling them our banned DDT. But there's a profit to be made. And I can't blame the board of directors and the presidents of British Petroleum and these other, you know, organizations. Because they don't pretend. You can see right through them. It's their stockholders I blame. Because they're the ones who enable these cons to do it. All right? So you own stock in one of these companies, you better be moral and ethical enough to ask yourself, does this company, like Nike, you should boycott Nike, does Nike exploit local labor in order to provide your sneakers? And if it does, even though it gets a good return on your dollar, then you are participating in exploitation. Don't wash your hands like Pontius Pilate and say, I'm clean of this. No, you're not. All right? This afternoon I'm going to talk about what I promised would be happening. Remember on the show I said, it's not the tar balls by themselves. It's what happens when there's vapor coming off of the oil and coming in with the rain. New study, toxic black rain falling in the Gulf. And I'll be the exclusive presenter of this information this afternoon at that time. We have our guest now. I'm told our guest is on hold. So we'll go over to Dr. Hans Kugler to talk about anti-aging in a moment. But first, Rachel.
Gary, we're going to be doing two long days of filming next Thursday and Friday. And to that end, we are looking for those who have reversed or improved their symptoms of AIDS, as well as AIDS activists who speak from a dissident's point of view. Again, we're filming Friday, August 6th, Thursday, August 5th. Please call Bianca if you're interested in being filming. If you're interested in being filmed, and her number is 646-926-5422. Again, 646-926-5422.
Yeah, we're filming a lot of things. Kara.
All right, Gary. Well, I'll be quick. First of all, I just wanted to say that a lot of these articles that you've mentioned, Gary, are available to read, and you can check them out for yourself on progressiveradionetwork.com. We do have an article up about fracking, as well as your latest article. They follow up to the Gulf War Syndrome. We have a part two article that's on GaryNull.com and Progressive Radio Network. So check out all the articles. There's about 20 of them at least. We upload new ones every day, so you can see some of the articles that Gary talks about on his show, as well as other things that are going on.
Let me just emphasize that. Today, right now as we speak, a brand new article in support of all Gulf War veterans who have been ill or traumatized or homeless is up. It's a brand new one. It's not the one that was up last week. That was one new investigative reporting piece. This is a separate investigative reporting piece, an original investigative reporting piece. This is what I finished overnight. It's up now. Also, I just gave the approval with some final corrections an hour ago for my newest homeless vets piece. And this is a short piece. It's only, I think, 8 minutes long. Very powerful. It completes that homeless vet piece. I put one up last week, which is 47 minutes, this one. And now you'll see a whole other dynamic. I decided to do it differently. Now you got that up there. So watch these videos, share them with people. Let's get them out to everyone we can. I brought someone in who is sending out our videos on the Gulf War Vets plight to every member of every legislature in every state in America, every governor, every member of Congress, the White House, every member of the American media, every conservative, every liberal blogger, every conservative, every liberal radio and television host, to see who out there is willing to take on the cause of 845,000 homeless vets in any given year. 75,000 dead vets. You heard me right. You will be told that the figure is 4,751. Wrong. 75,000. And we have those. But they didn't die in Iraq. They died back here because our government. And that's why I call the article, U.S. Government, to our vets, drop dead. They don't care. Well, we do care. And I'm against war, but I'm for our service personnel. So watch the videos, read the articles, share the information. Get it out to everyone on your Facebook, Twitter it out, get it out to every blog site. This is all about helping bring attention to a problem that our administration is not only fully aware of, but I prove completely and document it. You'll see all the footnotes that our government was complicit with a full understanding that what they were doing would cause these people to go downhill. And you'll see how far downhill they went. But see how I opened up this new film today. It'll grab you. All right? And the articles, remember, Progressive Radio Network is not only where you have more progressive minds, independent minds coming every day to listen to good programming, but it's also where you can read the most progressive articles from all over the world every day.
Of course. And we also get articles from our hosts that you can listen to, like Stephen Levman and Danny Schechter regularly have new articles up every week on Progressive Radio Network.
Yeah, and in every category, all kinds of categories, women's issues, men's issues, children's issues, environmental issues, spirituality, social issues. So we must have 20 different categories that we put our articles in all the time. Thank you both very much.
Thanks,
now
Mary.
Let's go over and say hello to my guest who is standing by, and that is Dr. Hans Kugler, K-U-G-L-E-R. He is a renowned researcher in anti-aging medicine and director of the HK Stem Cell Laboratory at the Health Integration Center in Torrance, California. And he has authored several books, including Anti-Aging Medical Therapeutics. And he's author of over 400 peer-reviewed papers published. Nice to have you with us today.
Well, Dr. Nall, it certainly is a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you. I'm just going to give you a couple questions and keep quiet and let you roll with it, all right?
Sounds good to me.
Let's say that people want to slow down or even, where possible, reverse any aspect of the aging process. The essentials of anti-aging, from telomere lengthening, what can do that, to recovering your heart and stem cells. The forum is yours.
Well, big thing here. Anyway, the very first thing I would say is to start with a new definition of health. And that goes back to a Professor Emmanuel Cherascom from Alabama University School of Medicine, who back in 1978 told me, Hans, guess what? There are several underdeveloped countries. They are outdoing the U.S. in overall ranking of health, and the only thing that we can pinpoint is that they have a good climate for agriculture and so on, and in addition to this, they don't have any money to buy our expensive pharmaceutical drugs. Well, that really made me think. It was really interesting. And then a little bit later in 2003, Harvard professor John Abramson, in his book Overdosed America, where the S is spelled with a dollar sign, pointed out that at that point, the U.S. was between 15 and 23 in the world, and that was directly correlated to extreme use of pharmaceutical drugs in this country. That means the more drugs we take, the worse our health gets. But it doesn't stop here. It goes even further. In 2008, according to World Health Organization data, the U.S. has now dropped to number 37 in the world. We are outdone by underdeveloped countries in respect to an overall ranking of health. Well, going back to Emmanuel Cherascom, who basically says, let's define health, because this is a major problem here. When you look at aging studies, very often the studies will say, well, as we get older, you know, muscle mass decreases and oxygen increase in the blood decreases and liver enzymes decrease and everything decreases and goes to pot. Well, that's the biggest nonsense there is, because the studies were never really done on what we define as truly healthy people. I asked some of these researchers, they said, well, what did you do the studies on? I mean, what people, sick people? And they said, well, naturally not. Well, if you did them on healthy people, how do you define healthy people? And that's when they get stuck, right? Because it was so obvious already in the, for example, in the Korean War, doctors looked at young men who had died in battle, and they found that at age of 18 and 19, they had atherosclerosis. Obviously, they were not classified as really healthy, right, if you already have a disease there. So according to Professor Cherascom, health is defined as a state of homeostasis achieved by following many different variables correctly, and those many different variables, I would say around 40 or so, they can be grouped together as health practices. So the more health practices, the more exercise, the more quality nutrition you do, the better will be your health, and the slower will be your overall rate of aging. That's the number one point. I think it's a very important part because, see, Professor Cherascom uses the Cornell Medical Index questionnaire, where we have actually a chance to go from, we follow trends. We go from the sick to the average to healthy people, and we follow a certain trend. Like, for example, when you look at vitamins in general, vitamin intake. If you go from a group of sick people to average people and healthy people, you find that the overall vitamin intake increases to about 4 to 6 times the RDA. When you do this with sugar, you have an opposite correlation. As you go from the sick to the average to the healthy, less and less sugar is consumed. If you do the same thing, more and more quality exercise you do, the better everything is. And again, there we can follow some of the American College of Sports Medicine, very conservative recommendations. You know, I hear people out there saying, oh, exercise, you have to exercise at least an hour a day and this and this and this and this. That's a lot of El Toro poo-poo. That's the way I define it, because I want to be a very polite person, right? So anyway, according to the American College of Sports Medicine, if you plot heart disease prevention, diabetes, depression versus the amount of exercise, and you keep doing more and more and more and more, suddenly you get to a point where heart disease prevention suddenly jumps 800%, diabetes 700%, depression literally disappears. And what is that amount of exercise? 3 times a week, 25 minutes if you really want to be precise, and during the 25 minutes, you want your heart rate in the right range, and we can also define that. Well, that's sort of the basics, and now we're going into the real science of aging, and that's called telomeres. At the, I don't know, Gary, Dr. Nall, does anybody know the expression of telomeres, or shall we talk a little bit about that?
I've done a lot of discussion on telomeres, so we can just go right through. If you could, uh-huh. I don't want you to run out of time before our WMYE audience that only has another 2 minutes with us before we sign off. We have another 10 minutes on the Internet. But if you could just do this, give us a list, if you would, please, right down the row of each thing that you know from your research will help lengthen the telomeres, and therefore then we'll go into specifics after that. But just give us the overview first.
Okay, very, very good. We have done longevity studies at Roosevelt University in Chicago. No, actually, I'm a New Yorker. I got my PhD at State University of New York at Stony Brook. I did also postdoctoral work out there and so on and so on. Then I went to Chicago, and at Roosevelt University in Chicago, we did longevity studies with cancer-prone animals. And when we combine a lot of health practices and exercise, everything is fine. But if we leave out the exercise, it doesn't work. Everything falls apart. So one of the number one requirements to actually lengthen telomeres, and they've shown that recently at the Saarland University in Germany, where they looked at middle-aged and older people, and they found that a good exercise program slows down the telomere shortening by close to 75%. Okay, next thing, a normal weight, quality weight. Well, you can have a whole show on that one. Very important. Quality nutrition. Stay away from all that processed food, as Mother Nature said, and so on. Good vitamin mineral supplementation. If you go towards the towards a stronger exercise program, you want to focus on some mitochondrial support. That means the mitochondria are the energy factories in the cells, in the heart cells. And because they're high energy output cells, you want to focus on coenzyme Q10, acetyl-carnitine, alpha-lipoic acid, fish oil, and so on and so on. Well, I mean, you know all about that. You've probably talked about those things. Then you can continue to support a lot of these basics with other good health practices, like, for example, learning how to deal with stress.
Okay, Hans, hold a second. We're going to say goodbye to our WMYE audience, and we're going to continue on the Internet because I want you to talk about stem cell therapy and all this. Dr. Hans Kugler, K-U-G-L-E-R, my guest. Please continue, Hans. You're doing great. And tell us about, you've told us exercise. You've told us what the Sports Institute says is the right amount. I hold a different, I've spent 30 years as the chief scientist in anti-aging research at the Institute of Biology. My research, both with animals and with humans, shows I would hold a different opinion from theirs, and also I am a world-class athlete. Not to brag, but, you know, it's one thing to talk as an athlete scientist, another thing to talk as an athlete, another thing to talk as a scientist. But I've seen people like Sid Howard and Sam Skinner and Thelma Wilson. You're talking about three of the greatest living athletes on the planet. And they exercise 5 days a week for an hour, both doing short distance, long distance, slow, fast, and resistance exercise. But they all agreed that if without exercise, your telomeres are not going to lengthen and you will speed up your aging process. You mentioned the proper weight. Hans, when I first met you back in the early 1970s, you were talking about health and were a model of health. Today, you're still talking about health and you're still a model of health, but you've never been overweight. When people get overweight, as the average American is, they actually shorten their lifespan, and they don't appreciate how much shorter it can make them. So calorie restriction is universally accepted as a lengthener of our life. Then you mentioned about the importance of getting the right vitamins and minerals. I agree. Tell us about stem cells, please.
That is my major research effort. I was always fascinated by that field because the original work on this actually started in Europe and actually, if you want to go further down a little bit, actually in Russia, because in Russia, their major method of birth control is abortions, and so they had a lot of these little embryos there, and they looked at them and they discovered stem cells in there in something what they would do. But going in the next step further, there was a Dr. Paul Niehans in Germany where the rich and famous used to go over there and they get embryonic sheep cell injections to regenerate and revitalize different organs. That was very, very effective. Well, it was so effective that it was actually a treatment for Down syndrome children. That means Down syndrome children have an IQ about 40. When you utilize these embryonic stem cells from sheep tissues, the IQ literally doubles, goes up to 40. And when you look at the facial features, they almost normal. You have to sort of have to take a second guess and see that, wow, this is really a Down syndrome child, right? And also, if you plot the growth curves, if you have a growth curve for a normal child and for a Down syndrome child, which is much lower, the ones treated with the cell sheep cell injections, it's just right in between. I mean, it is not even within range of an arrow. It is totally magnificent. And because of that, at Heidelberg and Tübingen University, they initiated a big 10 to 15 man research project. And they said, well, now since we know a little bit more about the functioning of the cells, the mechanisms inside the cells, we could possibly take a look and find out which messenger chemicals in those embryonic sheep cell injections actually do the trick. And that was an eight-year project, and a friend of mine, Dr. Ulrich Friedrichsen, in Germany, is an MD and a PhD, was involved with that. And they developed for every organ what they now call embryonic cell extracts. That means they isolated and pinpointed low molecular weight nucleic acids, peptides, and growth factors. And instead of a whole, let's say, 30 cc full of syringe of embryonic cells, now for every specific organ they have a 5 milliliter extract, and that is organ specific. It starts with embryo, that means from 10 to 12 major organs, a regeneration in the body. The next one is mesenchyme, which is the umbilical cord equivalent. And then you go up to every specific organ, I mean heart, kidney, liver, you name it. And the absolutely, I mean, the results are just magnificent. I think a lot of people know already, and I have this on my website, the anti-aging4me, forme.com. I had an extreme side impact car accident. And that car accident had torn so many muscles in my body and torn tissues apart that doctors overlooked that it had also injured my heart. And it took about a year and a half for them to determine that I had a heart injury. And by that time, they told me four drugs and a pacemaker and a defibrillator. I mean, and professionals who are listening in, my left atrium was 6.8, less than 4.0 is normal. My ejection fraction was 28%, a minimum is 50. And I had a very extreme, weird form of atrial fibrillation, which was a heart irregularity, right? And so the doctors told me, after all attempts, over a year, of cardioversions and ablations and drugs, and you name it. They finally told me four drugs and the pacemaker and the defibrillator installed in my chest, and that's it. And I said, no way. I started with friends with Dr. Ferguson in Germany, and I started with the embryonic cell extracts, and I also used EECP, which is available in this country, actually goes back to NASA. It's a method where they lay you on a high-tech bed, and your abdomen is wrapped. It looks like a pressure suit, like a G-suit for a jet airplane, and two pipes are going in there, and you are attached to the heart monitor. And at the beating of your heart, it inflates that shock voice. Oom-pa, oom-pa. Almost sounds German, I tell people. Anyway, so that, the embryonic cell extracts, and guess what? Weightlifting. A friend of mine, an Olympic trainer, pointed out to me that heavy weightlifting strengthens left atrium walls. And guess what? All these things together, I'm totally back to normal. I presented the data at the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine meeting in Las Vegas. Big talk. And we also applied it on a 62-year-old patient of, a friend of mine up there in Northern California, 62-year-old man. He was on a heart transplant emergency list. His ejection fraction was 18%. They tried to put a pacemaker, and it didn't work. And when he followed our approach, they sent somebody to Germany to get some of these embryonic cell extracts. You can't get them here, you know, because those geniuses and, well, whatever.
We know the politics.
We know the politics, right.
Okay, well.
So anyway, but the man followed that for two four-month segments. He is off the heart transplant list. His ejection fraction tripled. A pacemaker put in works. He has a new girlfriend. They're making whoopee-whoopee all day long. And he looks happy and smiley and fancy. And he does weightlifting by lifting bales of hay, you know. And all these things go together in pointing at stem cells as the major, absolutely 100% modality and revitalization anti-aging in the future. That means everybody agrees once we will have stem cells with the recipient's DNA, and that is a very important part. I mean, stem cells are available in Europe, have been for many years. You can, even in this country now, where the geniuses in Washington discovered that is something very important, you know. But when they're using generic stem cells, it will give the body a boost. Definitely good. I mean, no question about that. But it only gives it a boost, and that's because these generic stem cells have those low molecular weight nucleic acids, peptides and growth factors, right? But it will only be 100% once we will be able to make stem cells with the recipient's DNA. And that is basically the work what we are doing at HK Stem Cell Research. I put every penny I ever had into that lab. And again, at the, you know, at the website, the anti-aging for me, you can see pictures of the stem cell laboratory and basically what we're doing there.
Hans, as always, I appreciate being able to share some a forum with you, and I look forward to another conversation in the near future and possibly doing some research, maybe do a research challenge test to see what we can do on this, taking some people over to Germany where they can get the therapy there. They can't get it in the United States. Mm-hmm. But I want to thank you, and you have give your website out one more time.
Okay, well, actually, the website is anti-aging for me, F-O-R-M-E towards the end, but I'm also available as keynote speakers with AEIspeakers.com. Okay. And our organization now has State of California 501c charitable state.
Hans, unfortunately, we're out of time. In fact, I ran into the next show a little bit just so you could finish your comments. Dr. Hans Kugler, K-U-G-L-E-R, my guest, New Advances in Anti-Aging Medicine. Thank you very much, Hans. And now we have Deborah Wolf talking about Animal Magnet Pet Radio here on the Progressive Radio Network.
Show is produced in our New York City studios. The producer is Richard Gale. The engineer is Matt Bogart. All shows are archived by Joe Kemp. Our chief archivist is Sharon Pride, and the program director is Carol Lee. Now you want to give it all up for another guy.